This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Daniel McNamara, seismologist with the U.S. Geological Survey's National Earthquake Information Center. We want to get his analysis on what the USGS knows at this point about the nearly magnitude 6.0 quake. It's about 5.8, 5.9 that was centered just to the northwest of Richmond, Virginia. And Mr. McNamara, thanks so much for being with us.
You're welcome.
Well, those of us in the media here in Washington are usually just reporting the story, not necessarily part of it, but we certainly felt it in our studios here. And for the most part, it seems like not a lot of damage. What do we know about the depth of this quake, and what type of damage is generally associated with a quake of that depth and that magnitude?
Well, at this point, USGS is calling it a magnitude 5.8. The depth, I believe, is around 6 kilometers. Yes, 6 kilometers depth, which is fairly shallow. Because of that, it's produced a fair amount of strong shaking in the region. We have a website available where people can enter the experiences that they've had, you know, if they have damage on their buildings or if things fall off shelves, things like that, and it'll automatically compute an intensity for where they are located. And so in Virginia, near the Richmond area and north of that, there are intensities of sort of 5, 6, 7 range, and that is a maximum scale of about 10.
One of the things that's surprising folks, and I think this is probably due to the shallowness of the quake that you mentioned, is how far a quake of this magnitude was felt up the East Coast, as far as New England, as far west as, I believe, Illinois. What is your analysis for how so many folks felt a quake of this magnitude?
There's a term in seismology that we call attenuation, and that is essentially how long a wave can propagate before the energy dissipates. And all different rock types have different attenuation values. The East Coast energy will travel much farther than it would, say, on the West Coast of the United States. And that has to do with the compact nature of the rock, the faulting that are in the rock, and things like this. So basically, on the East Coast, the rock is more dense, more compact, and allowing energy to travel much farther distances. So an earthquake of this size will be felt over a much broader range than it would, say, in California for a similar size earthquake.
You mentioned fault lines. Most folks don't think of the East Coast as being seismically active, but it certainly is. And the Richmond area has had much smaller quakes in relatively recent years. What do we know about how active the fault lines in that area are?
Yeah, this is not an active tectonic boundary like you might think of for, say, California or Alaska or parts of Europe, Greece, places like this. But it is an active seismic zone in that it's experienced earthquakes in the past. I believe there was a 4.8 in the late 1800s, I think 1875 approximately. So that is probably due to just existing older faults in the crust of the earth that get reactivated when stress is applied. And that stress could be from distant sources at the edges of the larger plate tectonic or the plate boundaries.
I know folks right now are trying to determine whether this is at least one of the biggest in this region, if not the biggest in recent memory. Is there anything to read into what it would mean if it is perhaps one of the biggest we've seen around here in a very long time?
Well, I'm not sure what you could read into it. It is the largest that has been there in a long time. Again, there was a 4.8 in 1875. There was a I think there was a 4.5 in 2003, so a fairly large earthquake in recent memory. And then there was also a 4.5 in about 1774, so you can see relatively large earthquakes in the 4 range. I'd say this up near 6, 5.8 is fairly rare. I wouldn't expect to see that anytime soon.
So the fact that we've had this doesn't suggest we're going to have more of them at this magnitude.
Well, there will be aftershocks associated with this earthquake, but they should generally be smaller. I would expect them to be much smaller. The aftershock pattern is that there will be one earthquake about a magnitude unit lower than the main shock, and then many more in the, you know, sort of in the 3 magnitude 2 range. There'll be probably tens to hundreds of aftershocks in that range.
And how far might those be felt, either that initial aftershock or some of the smaller ones?
Those should be not widely felt. A magnitude 5.8 is actually quite large. And so when you get down into the magnitude 2 and 3 range, you're talking about several orders of magnitude smaller, several factors of 10 smaller than the main shock.
Just explain that a little bit briefly, because I think most folks know that the Richter scale is not such that a 7.0 is that much more than a 6.0, as we normally think of 7 being greater than 6. Explain the difference between the numbers.
The numbers are a factor of 10, so the difference between a 6 and a 7 might be the difference between going from the number 60 to the number 700. It's a factor of 10 larger than the smaller number.
So definitely smaller tremors to follow, but certainly important for those closer to the epicenter. Very interesting information. Daniel, thank you so much for your time today.
I would encourage everyone to go to the USGS website and enter felt reports so we can get a good estimate of the shaking intensity.
And that's USGS.gov?
Yes.
Thank you very much. Daniel McNamara is a seismologist with the National Earthquake Information Center at the U.S. Geological Survey. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.